Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
And I know, it's like my mind went blank for a second.
Again?
It does. It just does that to me. If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, or you'd like to have a conversation with us about your experiences from the road and stuff like that, give us, you know, contact us. Get a hold of us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to hammerlanelegends.com. Click on the contact section. You get hold of us that way. Either way, get you a hold of Jack, and Jack will get you in, you know, on the show, and we'll have a conversation. And that's what the show is all about, having a conversation with drivers about their experiences on the road, their life on the road, things that they've done, things that they're doing, wherever they're going and whatever they're doing. It's just, it's great. You've heard the show. If you haven't heard the show, listen to the show, you know? You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you get the hint. You know, it's awesome. Ship. Tell them a little bit about the voicemail line.
The voicemail line, 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. If you have a short story, 5-10 minutes at the most, you want to leave it on the voicemail line, we compile them up. We'll do a voicemail show when we get a couple of them together. If you have anything longer than that, you should contact the show. Get a hold of Jack. We'd love to hear from you and do an interview with you.
We definitely would. That is for sure. If you find yourself in need of any kind of preparedness stuff, you know, like survival food, survival gear, that kind of stuff, check out preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. They have everything you're going to need. If you don't, if they don't have it, you don't need it. Good answer, Ship. What about buymeacoffee.com?
Buy me a coffee, the virtual tip jar. You can leave a virtual tip for us if you enjoy the show. You want to buy us coffee, keep us caffeinated. You do that by buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. Just a virtual tip jar.
That's it.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
You got that right. Did we cover all the bases? I think we did.
The website, HammerLaneLegends.com. Well, check out the gear section.
There you go.
There's all kinds of crap there you might want to get. Yeah,
why do I forget the gear section all the time? I mean, I've even got Hammer Lane shirts. I'm still waiting for the hats, but, you know, Jack's eventually going to get them. You know, we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, one of these days. Anyway.
Right.
Well, you know what? All of that stuff is out of the way now.
Today, as they say with Warner Brothers, on with the show.
Right. Here it is, big time. Well, today we're talking with Rooster. Rooster, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We are doing all right.
Well, yeah. We're upright and breathing.
and that's saying a lot today. Yes. So it's been one of those weeks, you know, it's kind of like some good days, some bad days, some
mostly
shorter
bad
days, some longer days.
Mostly bad.
Yeah, you know, just that was just that kind of week. But you know what? It's all good, you know. We're here and things are going all right. All right, I know this is going to date the show, but I'm going to date the show anyway.
No, don't date the show.
Why not?
Well, because, you know, you're Jack and go off.
I don't care if Jack's going to get irritated. Rooster, are you ready for Christmas yet?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm one of those last-minute shoppers.
So right.
God bless you.
Have a week or two to go before I actually do the shopping. So, you guys?
Absolutely not.
I'm ready because my wife went shopping.
Oh, so this is just, you know, you're just boasting you're all set. Okay.
I,
I see how you want to pat yourself on the back.
I am giving her all the credit for getting us ready, and she does it every year. She's fantastic.
Reach around with your alligator arms, pat yourself on the back. Go ahead. We'll wait. It's all about you again, Tony.
You know, it is that I love her. She's fantastic. She does all these things, and she just takes the pressure off. I don't have to worry about it. She just does it. And, the kids send them all, if there's something that they want or whatever, but they're all adults now. So it's like, not so much a lot.
They can get their own crap.
Exactly. it's funny because I said to Michelle this year, I was like, I don't mean this to sound mean or nothing, but I said, like, the kids are all grown up. We don't, what are we going to get them that they can't get themselves?
Right.
So we still get them stuff,
they have their survival food. They're good.
Do, exactly. and they all drink coffee. So 30-year coffee, what I'm saying? Fantastic.
All right.
Anyway, back to our regularly scheduled program.
Back to Rooster.
So Rooster, tell us about yourself. Tell us about, how you got into trucking, what's gone on and how things are going now.
Yeah, I would honestly say trucking was actually, the saving grace of my life. Not only did it really save my life, it brought me to Christ through a weird way. I first joined the Marine Corps right after 9/11. I can remember that I'm pretty sure anyone can. Sitting in I believe it was our geography class, and it just shut down. We watched it on TV, and I believe I was a sophomore in high school. And it was just kind of surreal seeing that. And from that moment on, I knew I wanted to be a Marine. I did the delayed entry program. And when I turned 17, signed my name on the dotted line, and the government owned me. I love our country. Went overseas and part of the first insurgents to go actually over to Fallujah. And so really, really heavy activity. I did two deployments, ended up getting back home, and I you're kind of lost what to do, you're not sure where to go just because, you take all the experiences you had over there, not too many job opportunities, pop your way or anything to kind of deal with that, which was very eye-opening, because where you would excel in like the Marine Corps, civilian world's a little bit different. It took a while for me to adjust. And so I got into running restaurants.
Okay.
Which was completely off. So I worked with this hospitality firm. And so what they would do is imagine the worst restaurants ever. And they would place me there for a couple of years, set up a management team. And I would stay there, set them up. And once they were good to go, I'd go off to the next. And I did that for several years. But in that industry, there's a lot of bad things, drugs, alcohol. You just kind of get involved in that. And I didn't have the Lord in my life at that time. So obviously, I kind of, that created a big addiction. That went on for several years. And then I remember 5 years ago, it was December 20th, and I was using, and I ended up having an overdose in front of my now wife. And her words were, as I'm laying on the ground, is like, what am I going to tell Keegan? And Keegan was my adopted son at the time. And it just, your eyes open and you're like, wow. And so that night, I did a lot of thinking. That night I was going to put my notice into my job. And so I get off the phone with them. So I told them I had to quit immediately. It was my last shift. I go into work and I'm just thinking through my head, what am I going to do to supplement this income? Because I'm a Midwest boy. I don't really, that's all I knew in the Marine Corps. And so I was like, maybe trucking. And it just so happens, as I'm thinking this stuff and I'm working, a guy that ran a trucking outfit for precast paneling came in that day. And we've been talking back and forth. And I told him, you know, hey, man, like, I really want to get out. He's like, I'll pay for you to get your CDL. And ooh, right there, it was, yeah, my eyes opened. And he's like, I'll start you on Monday and I'll send you to truck driving school.
Wow.
And it was a godsend. Yeah. I prayed all that night, and I never prayed before. And I'm like, can you just help me? I know I've never even talked to him before that. And it was, my prayers were answered that night, and went to school while working. I did night classes, and yeah. Schooling is a little bit different. It doesn't really, like you guys say, and all your guests say, it just touches the iceberg, as you would say, but there's a whole lot underneath that you need to learn. But yeah, I've been doing it ever since, and it's been interesting. It's been hard, trying. I've learned a lot from the older drivers. My first job at that precast paneling, the first 3 months I was with a trainer. He did a great job. And his name was Jose. He was a really great trainer, and we would haul oversized loads. So I went from literally truck driving to just oversized loads, learning how to read permits, maps. And so it was all thrown at me after 3 months.
Wow.
And you don't want to, whenever you get into an industry, you don't want to tell them no, and
right,
you don't want to let anyone down. So you're so scared, and you're like, yeah, I got this. And you're not ready. I think that, you know, even looking back on that, I, from what I've learned and just my experiences 5 years later, they were crazy to put me on the road. Not that I couldn't do it. It's just my first load out, I was in Kansas City, and I took a wrong turn, and it ended me up downtown Kansas City. And I have this and I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's probably meat and potatoes to what you guys deal with in New York City, but for me, I mean the biggest city I ever saw was Des Moines, Iowa. And so I'm down there with this 60,000-pound oversized load down a residential area.
Wow.
And it's, yeah, and I'm just sweating bullets. Luckily, there was an older gentleman, and he just happened to be in his pickup truck. He's like, hey, driver. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you're lost. And I'm like, huh.
Does it show?
Yeah. You can literally see this left, but he's like, well, just follow me. And we ended up talking after I got to the place, but he used to drive trucks. So I guess he could see my panic, I would say.
Yeah.
But precast paneling is pretty cool. And you just pull up your flatbed up to the side of a building, and they just hoist it off with one of those cranes.
Okay.
And off you go. So no backupping or anything. It's pretty easy.
Right.
And so that was my first gig. And I believe it was my second or third run by myself, and I hear this explosion, and I'm on I-35 in Iowa, and it's right before the DOT scale. And if anyone knows, in Iowa, they're the most pickiest scales ever. And so I'm about 5 miles away from the scale, and I pull over, and the older driver that's been with the company for, I believe it was like 15 years, he pulls up behind me, and I get out. I'm like, oh my God. And I look back, and my drive tire is gone. And I'm like, well, crap. And when it exploded, it hit something with the brake line. So the brake line was leaking. And I'm like, well, shoot, I'm done. He's right. Like, no, you're not. And he goes, he goes in his truck and he gets his pair of pliers, gets underneath the trailer, pinches off the line, zip ties the line. And he's like, you're going to keep on driving. And I'm like, what? I'm like, there's like 60, 70,000 pounds on here. And I just blew a tire. I'm like, the scale's up there. He's like, you have a pre-pass. Just keep on going. And everyone says, like, you're stuck in that moment, whether to say no or not. I call my dispatch, and I'm like, hey, Caleb, and this is the guy that got me in the bar and brought me out of the bar scene.
Okay.
And so I thought we had a really good relationship. And Caleb, I just blew a tire, and I'm not trying to be a wimp about it. I do know that, you know, I've been driving that long. I don't feel comfortable. The load was going outside of Kansas City. So we still had we had like 4 more hours left of driving.
Okay.
And he's just like, I want you to keep on going. What does the loader got? You said to keep on going. And I'm like, man. And all that's playing in my back of the head is what I learned in school and what all these drivers have told. If you feel uncomfortable, don't drive. But you're kind of in the position where you're just on with this company. And, you know, and so reluctantly I drove, but we had the pre-pass. Luckily the scale was closed.
Right.
And I kept, yeah. And so I kept, and I dropped the load off. Then they send me to Bauer Tire, get it replaced. And I get back to the yard and I told him, like, listen, I love you, man, but I have a family and that I can't work for you. Say why? And I'm like, you didn't even care about what could have happened. Like what, you know? And that's when I left that company. And I was there for, I believe it was 7 months I was there.
Okay.
And so that was just kind of, I was like, dang it. Cause I really did like the job and it was a real good learning experience. And so, yeah, from there, I went to my buddy who used to work for that precast place that I worked at, got a job at the hall, like truss, like wooden truss for buildings and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they brought me on board there, and I spent a year and a half, 2 years there, and it was awesome. I mean, I learned so much. I found that the grumpier the guy that they said was the grumpiest guy knew the most. The guy that was so, you know,
yeah.
And I found that out early, and I always went up to that guy and I would try to make an impression with them because they had so much knowledge. And I mean, my first jackknife was, I was on the CB with him and he walked me through it. Thank the Lord that nothing happened, but he was able to tell me how to get out of it. He was behind me and we hit a patch of dry ice.
Mm-hmm.
And I look in my mirror, like, hey man, my trailer from the left lane. And I
it's not a good sign.
he's like, hey, Rooster, your trailer's sweeping a lot around. He's like, take your foot off the gas and steer into the actual trailer as it's going. And your mind doesn't really comprehend that because you just want to slam on the brake,
right,
and turn the opposite way, you know. And sure enough, I did that, and it just straightened out, and off we went. So yeah, and I learned the most from the older generation, and I get what you guys say about the young guys. They're just, you know, they don't do the pre-trips. I found that out early. Even in school, when they were passing some people, I'm like, man, these guys can't even. And nothing against any Hispanics or people that come to America.
Right.
I would come to America because it's great. But some of these guys couldn't even speak English.
Yeah.
And they were passing them through the course. And it was like they had to have a certain amount of people, you know, going through the trough. And I don't know, truck driving school was really interesting. They don't, I mean, as far as the driving was good, They spend, I think, one day on backing up. They never showed us really how to back up. They'd spent maybe 4 hours on it.
Wow.
And they kind of, yeah, it was, and I got really mad because I went towards the end, we were going through the test out and I aced everything in the back. I get the parallel backup. I'm like, what? Or the, not the offset, what is that? Yeah. Is it, where
the serpentine?
No, it's the hardest one where you have to bring your trailer in between two trucks.
Okay.
And so you have to fit it in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is like Spanish to me. I'd never even seen it. So I ended up failing and I get out of the truck. I'm like, we didn't even go over this. Like, yep, come back tomorrow. And I was like, whoa. And so luckily enough, I got an easier backup test, but
good.
Yeah. It really worked out best.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's, you know, the backing is one of the hardest things you're going to wind up doing. And, for them not to really, to spend like 4 hours, you know, doing backing maneuvers.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right. First off, thank you for your service.
Yes.
We appreciate it. And second of all, yeah, as far as backing up, they, you know, the old saying goes, I got 500,000 miles forward, but I got 3 miles backing up.
Right, exactly.
You
know,
you find that out with a lot of tanker trucks.
Yeah.
You know, not to put them down or nothing.
Oh, no. But they just pull it back in.
They pull up to a silo. Sure. You know, they make the big wide swing. Boom. There they are. You know, they're offloading with their hoses and that.
Right.
You know, it's just a. It's a whole different animal. And I guess a lot of these people just figure, well, you're going to, you know, it's on the job experience. You'll figure it out as you go.
Right.
You know?
But yeah, to me, that's just, that would be frustrating. I think I spent a week doing, you know, a week in class, a week driving on the road, and a week backing,
right?
You know, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Welcome to the world of truck driving.
Right.
Right. No. And that was my thing. And I'm like, it to their eyes, they'll learn it on the job, but try telling that to the receivers when you take, you know, like 20 minutes backing up.
Exactly.
And they're losing their mind and you're just like, oh, man.
Yeah. And you're losing your mind because you're nervous.
You're getting frustrated. Yeah.
That's really unfair.
It's a no win.
To the driver.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a no win all the way around. But.
Yeah. That really is.
But you get over that. Yeah. You get over that hump really quick though, too.
Yes, you do.
You do. I found myself purposely going to Love's truck stops, all the truck stops, but I'd want the busiest truck stop and I'd find the one parking spot. And you could tell the seasoned truck drivers, just the way their truck looks, how they carry themselves. You can look in there and it's usually a gentleman, an older gentleman, and all the stuff is clean, squared away. And I'd knock on his door and I'm really sorry to bother you. I'll buy you a cup of coffee or dinner, but can you please show me how to put this in that spot? I wasn't showing properly. And I'd always tell him, I don't want to be that guy. And so,
right.
Almost 100% of the time. And that's how I learned. You really have to, you know, kind of think outside the box if you want it to work. And after a couple weeks of doing that, I felt comfortable.
Good.
Still, there's some backup issues, but it works. And anything in this industry, if you want to get good at it, I've noticed you either got to outreach towards an experienced driver, or you just got to try and try, and you're gonna fail.
Right.
But you know, if you don't try, you know, or even, you know, if you don't reach out to people for help. And I think that's the biggest issue. But on the same aspect, I've been broken down before. And this was when I got my new truck, and this is the current job I'm at. And it was one of those Kenworth gliders with the bull rack on top.
Okay.
Well, I've never dealt with the bull rack, and I don't know how to release it. And so my battery was dead, and I'm on the side of the road. I think I had 146 pigs on, and it's in the middle of winter.
It's a lot of bacon.
If you know life.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Delicious.
Yes.
And the back of my mind, most lifestyle callers, if they're really good, they care about the animal first. And in the back of my mind, I got to get this moving because these animals. So my battery's dead. I don't have cables. There's a love that's 2 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my trousers on and I put my jacket on and I start running. And I get up to this love's. And these truck drivers are coming in, and I'm like, can someone please help me? And I remember this guy looking at me, and he's like, I don't have time for that. And I'm like, man, I'm like, guys, I just need help. It's maybe a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
And I called dispatch, but they weren't answering. It was about 4 a.m. And the love's attendant was a wonderful elderly woman in her 70s. Said, I'll be right back. She goes, grabs cables from her own car, puts me in her car, drives me to my place, and she actually knew how to unleash the light. I'm like, man, I'm learning stuff all the time. Here's this 70-year-old woman handling this bull rack like it's nothing, tearing it apart and pushing it down. And she ended up showing me, and she got up there, hooked the cables to, I don't even know where she hooked them up, into my hood and jumped my truck. And I looked at her and I'm like, my gosh, you're an angel. Thank you so much. She's like, no, I would expect someone to do it for me. And so, you know, chivalry comes in all forms.
Yes, it does. That's awesome. That is awesome. You know, you don't know the caliber of the people you're going to run into. And the thing is, you know, you just trust that the Lord's going to provide the right person at the right time, you know, and he does. You know, you got what you needed.
Always.
Yep. And it's important, you know. It's one of the things that you find. It's like, you know, I get a chance to work with Shipper, you know, and he's a guy that's been around a long time, and he knows what he's doing a lot. And he's full of information. You know, sometimes he's full of other stuff too, but
sometimes useless information, but yeah.
But no, he's a good guy. And yeah, he's helpful. He's helped me a couple of times, you know. I mean, I actually broke down. I was going up to our Hazleton terminal and I was climbing the mountain in my turbo. The hose blew off the turbo, off the intercooler. And he's like, well, you know, I'm back here at our home terminal. And he goes, I'll get the clamps from the shop and I'll come up there and I'll meet you. I was like, dude, you don't have to do that. I mean, you know, they'll call someone out. But he was all ready to come up, you know, but if the mechanic wasn't there by the time he was going by the route. I mean, I was probably what, 10, 16 miles up Route 81 from where 78 comes in. And he was willing to come up and, you know, help me get my truck rolling. And, he, you know, by the time he got back out there, of course, the mechanic had been there and I got rolling again. I left, you know, let him know. But you know, you just appreciate guys like that. You appreciate guys who are willing to do something that's out of the norm. They go out of their way to help you. You know, yeah, you just do. I appreciate that. I appreciate that that's the kind of guy Ship is. And, you know, it's cool that you ran into this elderly woman working at the Loves, and you know, she's working the counter. Who would expect her to know,
right,
you know, how to do any of these things? And yet there she is, you know, an angel in disguise, does, you know, all this stuff and is able to help you get rolling again. That's just cool, Rooster. That is just cool.
Oh, it's like a saving grace.
And, yep.
And you know, and you got to pay it forward. Just the other day, I was in Minnesota in Worthington, and there's a roundabout up there. And it comes before a stoplight, and this gentleman, and he's an older gentleman, and he has this white car, and it's clearly broken down. He's in there trying to start it, and all these guys keep blowing by him. And so me being the dick I was, I go around the roundabout, and I shut off the roundabout, and I put all my brakes on, and I get out, and I'm like, hey, sir, how are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm fine. Just can't get this sucker started. And I got in there, and it was a six-speed, a little six speed, I don't even know what kind of car it was, but it was an older one.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried turning. I'm like, you know what? It's not going to start. Why don't you get in the driver's seat? I'm going to push you up there. At least you're off this side of the highway. And
right.
we can get you safe over there. And meanwhile, there's like truckers and everyone else backed up. But it's like, it's in, I watched for at least 3 to 5 minutes and I'm at this stoplight. How many people passing?
Right.
And it's like that just moral compass seems to be gone where, and what popped in my mind is I was listening to one of your guys' episodes and you guys were talking about, you know, it is a dead thing where, you know, someone's stuck on the side of the road and people help them. And it just popped in my head, you know, you got to at least try to help this guy. And
right.
I don't know. It just, and so I ended up pushing him over and he said, thanks so much. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I just want to ask, how long were you sitting there? He's like, it's been like 20, 25 minutes. I'm like, 25 minutes.
Wow. Right.
The guy in his 80s can't get help. And I gave him a bottle of water and asked him if he needed anything else. He's like, no, I'm good. And he was on the phone and I just pulled off and went around my day. There's people behind me. They were pretty pissed off.
Yeah, they'll get over it.
I didn't care.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, at that point I would have said, well, look, it'll go a lot quicker if you get out of your truck and help me push this car.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the sad thing is that there's this guy sitting there and you know, he's in the road. It's not like he's not in the path of everybody.
He's in a dangerous area.
He is. You know, and if somebody comes along and whacks him, well, now you're going to tie up the road anyway. So why don't we tie it up and nobody has to get hurt and we'll just get him out of the way and we'll be in good shape, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after structural, at that company, my wife is probably in like, it's true, behind every good man is a stronger woman.
Mm-hmm.
Without this woman, I mean, I think I'd be lost. You know, I'd just be some stupid man doing stupid things somewhere, but she keeps me grounded. And, you know, ever since she's been on my side through thick and thin, you know, whatever she wants, I usually try to give her for the most part.
Yeah, you do the best you can. Right.
Exactly. And she's always wanted to live in St. George, Utah.
Oh, wow.
And it's beautiful. Yeah, and it's beautiful. All of her family live out there. And I ended up putting my 2 weeks notice in at that place. I loved it. And it was in Omaha, Nebraska. And we ended up going out to her mom's. And this was also when I proposed to her. So I had a plan. I quit my job, proposed to her, get another job. How that all was going to take place, I was going to worry about it as it went.
Right.
You know, and I go out there and I show up at this concrete plant. And I pull up and I get out and I open up this door and this guy from Boston runs the place named Dwayne. Dwayne is a little picture of Dwayne. Dwayne is one of the most hardworking mentors I've ever had. If he didn't end up passing away from cancer, I still would have been there. But 60 years old, you know, those heavy Boston accent, you know, and he's sitting there in this shed. And he looks up at me. He's like, what do you want? And I'm like, listen, I came here for a job. He's like, it gets hot here. Can you handle the heat? And I'm like, I did a deployment in Fallujah. It's pretty hot there. He's like, all right, show up tomorrow. and so.
Interview over.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got a pulse. Yeah. Well, get in the driver's seat. And,
right.
You know. I learned so that man was like a father to me and a mentor. And he, we ran cement trucks and pneumatic trailers in the St. George area. And man, that business, talk about characters. Whew, you roll up on some of these sites and these guys, you're like, that is exactly why you are laying concrete. Because all rules go outside. They don't know. They're so mean. No offense. Hardest working people. Yep. You shouldn't be in. You shouldn't associate with people, that kind of people. So, and that took a while for me to get used to, because right. The Midwest, I mean, you're always super nice. You roll up on a job site and these guys are like, you're 5 minutes late. They're swearing up and down. And you're like, geez, man, like, is life really that bad? And you almost want to give these guys a hug and just calm them down a little bit. Blood pressure through the roof.
Right.
And, I did that for a year, a little over a year. And then I'm working one day, and Dwayne would always, man, this, he would always have, so start time was at 5 a.m. But Dwayne loved coffee, and Dwayne loved telling stories. So really, you get there at 5, you're starting at 6. And every morning you go in the shed, and there'd be three chairs, and he would just tell these outrageous stories about how he used to own his own garbage truck company somewhere in Utah, Park City, Utah. And he would just tell me just these crazy stories, and he's a vulgar man, talks about, you know, just everything.
Right.
And you know, he'd always make sure everything was squared away, trucks were good. And, you'd work 16 hours a day, and you would go back, and there would be food there on the desk for you.
That's cool.
He wouldn't be there. And this man was in his 60s. And the thing was, is he was getting as dirty as we were. Mm-hmm. And he was running we would just run. And it just was. And then one day he's like, I got a lump in my stomach. And, you know, and it just, I mean, it hit so quick. And he ended up passing away a month after that. And,
wow.
I was able to go talk to him right before he passed away. He called me up to hospice care. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there, and he's like, you know what, buddy, our journey's over. And I'm sitting here bawling. And because this guy has made such an impact on me and showed me so much, he showed me how to be a family man. And if anyone doesn't, because I didn't have a father figure, a positive one, I should say.
Okay.
That, you know, and so when you actually learn something that impacts your life the best from someone, you cherish that person.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here, and it's like losing the most important thing. I mean, he just looks at me, he's like, shut up, you big glove. And I'm like, Dwayne, you're literally dying and you're joking. And just I had a conversation with him. And his son was such a shithead, and I'm sorry to swear, but he was this 24-year-old punk kid, never worked a day in his life, lived off his father's wealth. He comes down there to run the company, and meanwhile, while he's in hospice, I'm running the whole business for him, and he's out partying, he'd come in late, and he's like, you know what, Brennan? And he asked me, he's like, I got to ask you this. I know you don't want to do it. And I'm just going to ask you if you could stay for the company by pass until everything settles over. And I'll do it. He's like, I'll make it right by you. And he knew I was trying to buy a house. He's like, I'll give you the down payment for the house. And I'm like, wow. No, I'll do that. I'll just do it because you asked. In my mind, this man has shown me and given me more that I can use than money would.
Right.
So I absolutely, Dwayne, I gave him a hug. He ended up passing away a couple weeks later. And I worked for them for about a month. And the tipping point when I quit, we're sitting in the office, his wife and his son. And I'm like, listen, I've held up my end of the bargain. stayed here until you guys sold the company. And Dwayne promised me something for looking out for the company, because the company wouldn't have been running without me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know what, Dwayne wasn't in his right state of mind. And, you know, I don't think we're going to honor that.
Wow.
I'm like, what? Yeah. It was just because my wife and I, like, you know, we really, and I would sleep underneath the desk up there and keep the clients that he had were happy, because they were longtime friends of him. And so I didn't want, you know, I didn't want to jeopardize that. So I ended up running mud, mixing the mud through this big plant.
Right.
I should have taken five people to run. And it was me and this one crazy little kid. And he would help me, and my stepson would help as well. And when they said that, I was like, man. And it was just the biggest letdown. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have to go now.
Right.
And I went home that day and told my wife. And she's like, no, things happen for a reason. And I'm way happier than what I was. And I mean, I wouldn't change the job. And right now I haul livestock.
Okay.
And I got right after that, I got straight into that. And man, whew, talk about old school running. We run off paper logs, but they're not paper logs. You're running, I think a couple weeks ago, I put in 1,000 miles in a week. Or not a week. It was 2 days. Sorry about that. I mean, it's just go.
Right.
And where you could, so they have it set up to where the farms are spaced out, and there's 150-mile air radius.
Okay.
Where you don't have to log.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the farms are close enough, you know, you keep on jumping back and forth from farms. And so really you don't keep a log. You keep running and running, and it's crazy. It's good though. Sorry. I probably talked your ear off.
No, not at all. It's fantastic, dude.
We don't haul livestock. So
no, that's some
we watch it go by.
That's about it. So, you know, to actually hear somebody talk about it, you know, so when you're going from farm to farm, are you picking up and dropping off, or are you just picking up to take it to market?
Well, you're doing both. You're transferring them from literally a farm to another farm. So first thing you have to do before you actually get to haul livestock, you have to take these classes. They're TQA and PQA, which means like pork quality assessment, meaning that the welfare of the pigs, how to handle pigs, how to handle cattle, things like that. BQA, which is the beef quality side.
Okay.
Because I mean, they're so temperamental, and I mean, the littlest thing will kill them, especially with pigs. If it's too hot in the trailer. And so we have those panels, and there's an equation according to the actual temperature outside and the actual humidity.
Uh-huh.
And that depicts how many percentage of panels you pull off. So you could start. So right now I'm heading up to Montana, and I'm right now in Fargo, North Dakota. And so I'm 100% capped, which means that all my panels are in just because of the weather. But then you can get back, and it could be like, say it's 50 degrees,
mm-hmm.
you have to pull off at least 40% of your panels, just for the well-being, because it, even when you haul these pigs inside there, I mean, outside it might be like -5, inside there it's like 70, 80 degrees. It gets pretty warm.
No kidding. Just from the animals themselves just giving off that
from their body heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always wondered about that. You know, it's one of those questions that you think about. I didn't know how they actually regulated the temperature of those, you know, those trailers. That's kind of, that's 65, interesting.
65, 85 miles an hour.
Right.
And I'm telling you, some of these, there's a reason why they call these bull rackers crazy. These guys will drive in anything. I mean, snow, ice, and really, I mean, last week I got, I picked up in Montana, I picked up ISO wings, which are baby piglets.
Hmm.
And I had 1,700 of them on my trailer.
Wow.
And when you you pick those up, you can't stop. I mean, you could stop maybe for an hour nap, and the trip from Montana to the site is about 17 hours. And so you could stop for a nap here and there, but it's strict go. Well, I pull up there and we load in these where we pick our little pigs up, or the ISO wings are in the Hoodite colonies. So they're like Amish.
Oh, okay.
People. But they're the more high end Amish. They get to use telephones, and TVs, and cars. So they got the good side of things. And so
they got the pimpier wagon ride.
Exactly. So you pull up, you're going up this mountain in your GPS through the GPS, because that thing's the devil. That thing will take you to your grave if you listen to it.
Yes.
I learned that the hard way. And so you have to old school map it out. And luckily in school, that's one thing they did good, is they did teach us how to read maps.
Oh, that's good.
The lady that was in, she spent a whole week on reading maps.
Wow.
And so I pull out my Montana map.
Wait. What school? The truck driving school?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going back. I'm thinking, okay, he had geography in school, right? You know, in grade
high school.
Yeah. Okay. But the truck driving school. Well, kudos to them.
Yeah. Most definitely. That is not something to hear much of.
There was this. No, it's not. And the lady that was instructing the course, this lady was 6'5" and she was built like a man, but she was the coolest lady. And she's like, you guys will not pass, and I will not let you pass unless you pass the SNAPS class. And she held up your phone, and she's like, this is shit. If you listen to this, it will kill you. And I'm just like, yes. And so, we went through how to read a map, distancing, looking for low bridges. And I've used that more than anything. In every state I'm in, I always grab one of their maps and go to my glove box, just because I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
I know I will. And if you don't use maps in the area you're not used to, I suggest you do it, especially in livestock, because they drop pins. And so my dispatch will give me a pin drop.
Okay.
And you look at where it's at, and anytime you map or you Google map it, it'll take you in Canada and you're supposed to be in Montana. And so you really want to be weary of that. So I'm heading up to this outside of Havre, Montana, and that's about 50 miles from the border of Canada. And the highways are really sketchy. They're kind of like your highways out there, but I'm pretty sure from hearing about your highways,
these
highways are a little bit nicer. They at least fill in the potholes. It's not level, but they fill them in.
Our potholes get big enough you can fill it in with a car. You know, just, somebody falls in, you keep driving over it.
Yeah, we're coming into pothole fill-in season.
Yes,
snow.
We are. Snow. Levels out the road.
It's like that everywhere. And I was just talking to my wife. I'm like, you know, I might as well burn the money I send to the DOT or whatever whatever transportation person takes our money from taxes.
Yes.
It clearly, and you can be Helen Keller and notice that the road needs fixed. And
man, after my own heart.
We don't call him Pothole Pete for nothing.
Exactly, man. And so in Montana, people up there are friendly. So yeah, I'm heading up to Havre. And I pull up to this Hoodite site, and man, they speak a weird language. It's like a cross between really broken English and a heavy, heavy accent, and I'm not sure what other language they, but you got to decipher what they want. And so after getting up there and actually talking to the guys, they'll back you up to a chute. And then they herd these pigs on, and they're triple deck trailers. And I'm still a newer driver. The other drivers have been with this company. It's a great company. And they've been with the company 15 plus years. And so these loads, the ISO wings, usually go to the younger guys because you end up crawling on your hands and knees on the bottom compartment. Uh-huh. And the second compartment. So picture a box trailer cut into thirds.
Cut into three, yeah.
And so, yeah. And so you have to bed the trailer on the bottom and the second. So you put this hay down, and then you usher them in, and then you gate them, and then you go. And you stop at a veterinarian. They go out there. They check the pigs or whatever livestock, because they don't want you transferring diseases from state to state. And so you have to have a veterinary clearance. And it's a quality assessment sheet. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong on that one, but it's just a sign-off statement that they're not.
It's a good-to-go sheet.
There you go. It's good to go. And so then you're off. Well, my first run out there, it starts to rain, and I'm like, man, and in the back of my head, they're loading, and it's taking a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes like 3 hours to load these things, and it starts pouring, but then it stops pouring and starts snowing. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, gosh, oh man, I'm in the middle of nowhere, and it's going to be pure ice. And sure enough, I take off, and these mountains are just pure ice, and nothing that training, nothing gets you ready for ice.
Yep.
Snow's okay, but ice is just, you can go slow, the wind will blow your trailer. And I mean, and then it started snowing through North Dakota and South Dakota. And usually you'd stop, and it took me, I believe, 26 hours straight driving.
Wow.
And I'm driving, and I'm stressed out. Hell, it gets better. This is my first wreck of a trailer. It wasn't bad.
Thank God for that.
I pull up to the, I pull up to this site, and it's a blind side back. I've done it a million times, and I usually get out and look.
Mm-hmm.
The farmer was sitting there watching. And so I look at the farmer, he looks at me, and I thought we just had this understanding. Hey, listen, if anything's in my way, you're going to tell me. And that's why you should never assume. Obviously it makes an ass out of you and me, right?
Right.
And I'm backing up, and I just hear this, boom, and I'm like, what? And I get out, and I hit a 4 foot high. It's like a retaining wall that was covered by grass. And I look at the guy, and I'm like, where were you? He's like, this is the wrong farm. The farm's over there. I'll meet you there in 5. I'm like,
that was helpful.
Thanks for telling me where the farm is. And this man literally sat there and watched me back my trailer into this wall.
Wow.
Just good old day. And I get up. Yeah. And so in my head, I call my boss, and I'm just, you know what? I quit. He's like, what? And I'm like, you know what? You're probably already going to fire me. He's like, Brennan, calm down. He's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I was backing up, and I bet you're, because there's those boxes at the end that hold tools or whatever you want. And I bent that bumper bar underneath the tail, on the tail, that long bumper bar.
The ICC bumper.
I bent that in, yeah. And I bent that in into the actual trailer hatch, and it bent it all in. And he's like, Brennan, calm down. It's fine. People make mistakes. Just unload the pigs and go sleep for the next 12 hours. Like, you're not going to fire me? He's like, no, not at all, brother. I'm like, oh, man. Well, shoot. I take that quitting back. But yeah, no, man, in livestock, these guys are, they're crazy, man. They go, but they are some of the nicest guys. I mean, they have a lot of knowledge, but it sure is, it's a learning experience, to say the least.
Yeah, I bet. Right. I bet.
Sometimes you, so we also load huge sows. So these pigs are like 700, 800 pounds. And they've already, they're usually the moms that have already had litters and several litters, and they're going off to be your famous bacon or your sausage link, things like that.
Right.
Pigs that are that big. Mm-hmm. They're not really good meat. So they have to do like dog food or something. And I'm loading this one, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, this one doesn't look too well. Sure hope it doesn't die, because it's like 700 pounds. And so I'm going to the site. I get to the site, and I'm unloading. And I look at the back. Sure enough, it died. And there's no winch or anything to pull it off.
Wow.
So I'm sitting down there trying to roll this 700-pound animal out the bed of my truck. And my gosh, and you can't really call anyone at 2 a.m. to come winch you out.
Right.
There's really no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just roll it out. And
yeah, because in your line of work, your freight walks on and it walks off.
Right.
There you go. And if it's dead, you carry it off yourself.
Right. Wow.
Kind of like a passenger bus in the big city.
You remember that old, tow truck driving lady?
Yeah.
Susan, yeah. Two? Yep, Susan.
She'd be good at that. I could picture her throwing one of those over.
Yep.
And just throwing them out. But the worst are the boars. Now, boars are the meanest animals. I mean, the meanest. And I've never loaded a boar, and they don't really tell you what you're getting into when you go to these sites. They just give you a head count.
Right.
And on the side, it says what kind of animal. It's like butcher pigs are your best pigs. They go straight to like your chops, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And then you got your number two junk, which is like, it's okay. There's some blemishes. And then you have junk pigs that go into your pepperoni. And your boars go into your pepperoni. Now, these boars, they're the meanest animal, and they still have their tusks. So I didn't know that. And I'm walking in, they give you this little plastic board to put in front of you, and you have this little zapper like it's going to do anything. And these boars are like 500 pounds, and it looks like a razorback gorilla.
Wow.
Their back tapers off, and they have like a patch of hair that goes down the back.
Mm-hmm.
So this last boar I had to load, and I should have known this was a bad animal, because out of everywhere in the barn, this thing's sectioned off like Mike Tyson with the other animals, because, hey, listen, that thing's too bad to beast other animals. And it was. I walked up to this thing, and it's foaming at the mouth. And what boars do is they chomp on their teeth, and they make this... They make a chomping noise when they're angry.
Wow.
And I'm getting up to this thing, and it's chomping, and I'm like, man, I don't want to look like a bitch. I don't want to call someone for help or ask. So I just slowly open up the gate, and he looks at me, and I zap him with our cattle prods.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing turned its head at me and charged me. And I jumped over the thing into, I think it was like 3 foot of pig shit, and just face planted in this pig shit and in this bin just to get away from this thing. And
wow.
I called the barn owner. I'm like, hey, man, like this Hercules animal you have in here, I don't know how to load it. He's like, that's easy. Just go get a sow and he'll follow her right up. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. And so you get a female pig,
uh-huh.
And you just leave the female pig, and that thing follows her right up there. And goes,
wow.
That's lit.
Yeah, how about it?
And so, yeah, just like any other mill, you know.
I was just gonna say that. Yep.
Yeah.
And so, you know, trucking. I never thought I'd do it, and I can tell you, it is one of the best jobs, and it can keep a man honest. And to anyone out there that has any, you know, problems with alcohol or drugs, and they're sober and trying to stay sober.
Right.
This industry can force you to be sober because you have everything to lose.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's been a great 5 years. I've made the most money I've ever made in my life these last 2 years. The Lord's blessed me.
That's awesome.
I just had a baby girl 6 months ago. Her name's Victoria. And, you know, it's, you know, blessings come, and you just got to be willing to have your eyes open to accept them, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And so, yeah, those are my stories.
That is, you know, it's interesting because we don't, how many cattle haulers and, you know, animal haulers have we talked to? Not that many.
No.
Just a few. No. So it's interesting. It's always an interesting thing to listen to you guys, you know, and the things that you do and just walking down the road you've been on, you know, just, you know, kind of getting yourself clean, getting yourself straightened out, you know, doing the things you're doing and, you know, getting involved in an industry like this where you're forced to, you know, you can't drink and drive, you know, you can't do drugs, you know, you have to stay clean, and that's good. You know, those are good things. And, you know, I'm really glad to hear the change that has been made, you know, for you. It's been really positive. That's fantastic. I think it's great. That is just great. And yeah, you know, if I can ask, how old of a guy are you?
I am 37.
So you got a lot of years to work, you know, and, you're in a good industry, you know, so you got a lot of time to, you know, to do this. This is a, you know, what the heck, you know, Ship's been doing this for more than 35 years ish.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, I've been doing somewhere. Like, yeah. After a while, you just kind of lose track. It's like, yeah, it's over 30. So
I don't look how many years I've done it. I look how many more medical cards I need. One hand.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah. One hand, what, 5 years?
I'm hoping.
Ah, come on. That's, you can't do that yet, dude.
Watch me.
It's pretty amazing, those medical cards, how some of these guys get them.
It like, is.
You're like, you're just like, I went in to get mine in Iowa and I almost failed because my pulse was too high.
Uh-huh.
She's like, oh, I drink coffee and energy drinks. What do you want? I'm like, that guy out there that, I mean, some of these guys, it's crazy.
Right.
And then the sleep apnea thing. Like,
right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they try getting me on that too. And like, do you snore? And I'm like, I'm sleeping. I don't know.
Right.
good question.
You snore? Maybe you ought to call my wife. Ask her. I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't wake me up.
Yeah. I sleep pretty fine. I mean,
yep.
But yeah, no, the Medicare thing's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, thankfully, you know, you start getting to an age where, like Ship said, you know, you start counting them on your hands and you're like, yeah, I don't got that many more to go. You know, and if you,
one license renewal. This is how you look at retirement.
You start looking forward. Yes. Yes. You count your vacation days until then, you know, but,
do you guys find yourself not wanting to drive when you're at home? Like having your wife do all the driving? You're just like, listen, I'll go with you, but I'm sitting passenger.
No, I got news for you. I'm home until I go back to work. You want to go? Nope. Go. That's why you have your own vehicle.
Yes. Yeah. I, to be honest with you, I feel this is going to sound terrible. I love my wife, but I feel safer if I'm driving. If we're running, if we're running together. I mean, my wife is like 4'9". So 4 foot, you know, between 4'9" and 4'10". And it's like, you know, her hands, when you see her, you just see hand, you see her knuckles on the steering wheel and a little bump of her head. And I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I'll drive. I'm good. So.
And that's with the three Cabela's catalogs underneath her.
It's just like, it's oh my word. She has her seat all the way. Can you go move my car? And so I go out to, you know, get in her car and it's like, you mind if I readjust your seat? Cause it's like all the way up and all the way forward.
I'm not getting my leg in there if you want.
So yeah, I actually do. If we're going someplace together, I do drive. And you know, I have my own personal car is an old Toyota. I reached 357,000 miles on it. And that's if we're riding together, that's the car we're riding in. otherwise I have to readjust her seat, readjust the mirrors, and then she has to get back in to readjust everything, you know, when she has to go to work or whatever. So it's like, whatever.
And that's on a Sunday. And by Wednesday, she has it all adjusted the right way.
She's got it all back to normal, right? it's like, no. So yeah, if we go together, you know, if we're going someplace, I'll just drive. Even though I don't want to. Because like Shipper, I'd like to come home on the weekend because you spend all week driving. You know, you don't want to drive. But just because of those things, it just makes it easier for her and easier for me. Because I just get nervous. Like, you know, I can't sit and relax when she's driving. Not that she's a bad driver. I just can't relax.
Yo.
So how about you? How is it for you? Do you... does your wife drive?
She does, but I end up being the backseat driver. Like, I wouldn't say I'm critical, but I always just, man, you're following too close.
Yeah.
I always look out for, I'm always on the defense. I'm always looking out to see possible things that could happen.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I said this to my son, you know, being a truck driver, you're tuned to looking 12, 15 seconds down the road
where all the time.
The guy with the car, he's looking 15 feet in front of him because he's following the guy in front of him. That's it. Not looking at the surroundings at all, you know, not looking at the on-ramps or just going down the road. I find myself doing that a lot. And now that my son has his CDL, he kind of, but you know, he needs some grooming to that because, you know, he's just got to go Mach 10 with his hair on fire and get there. It doesn't matter. 35 doesn't mean you have to do 35.
That's a suggestion.
Yeah. Yes. You know, and I just laughed, say, you know, that 20 over is a big ticket. Yeah, no, we're all right.
Yeah.
You drive, son, not me.
Yep. It's your license.
Right.
Good luck.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is another reason why I would rather just, that's why I said, you know, I'm uncomfortable when she's driving. Because I critique, I'm looking, I'm watching, and it's, I'm like that when, if I'm with one of the kids, if I'm riding with my daughter or if I'm riding with Jack or if I was riding with Tony, you know, I that's what I, you know, I'm just like, hey, you know, you're getting a little close there or, you know, hey, did you miss that sign or whatever? You know, it's like, it just comes out. I don't know what else to do. It's just who I am. So either the, you know, either I'm driving or they're going to have to deal with my critiques.
Mm-hmm. And
it's life.
Yep.
Being a dad doesn't stop, you know? Well, Rooster, this has been an interesting conversation. We, you know, we appreciate you coming on, and you know what, as your driving experience goes on, come back on the show and talk with us again. You know, you're going to run into more, you know, more experiences on the road, and you're going to be doing more stuff. And, you know, I actually find it interesting because I've never hauled livestock.
No, you're coming down 309 there. We always see the livestock coming off the highway and going to the processing plant.
Exactly. Exactly. That's as close as we get, you know, to doing that, you know, so that's a neat end of things. You know, there are things that I, you know, you don't even think about, you know, when it comes out, like, honestly, how long does it take to load 1,700 little piglets? I mean, that's got to take a while. Yeah. I mean, it
usually takes around 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean, because they don't really, you know, they're piglets. They're not going to walk where you want them to.
Right. Do they? On Earth, they're stacking them.
You have this how they stack up. So you have this shaker can with BBs in it.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of shake it behind them, and you're yelling out the top of your lungs, and you just see a wave of little things just going.
Yeah, I was always curious about those kind of things, you know, so that's interesting.
Well, I do appreciate, you know, and I'm probably speaking for all the guys that listen to your show, you know, you got to do a great job. I've learned a lot just by listening and just how to act as a respectful driver. And just those things you don't know you're doing, that right. you're messing up on, your show really touches on it. And it does a great job of, you know, the do's and don'ts and what pisses people off and what doesn't. So, I mean, every week I wait forward to your guys' show. I listen to it, and no, it's been a pleasure. And like I said, you guys, this is probably the best podcast you put out, because it just, hopefully people that drive forward will listen to it. You can
right.
kind of give them a little cue to what not to do around a truck. So, no, I really appreciate it. And just like with that other show too, I listen to.
Everybody says that other show. You can say the name.
It's funny because that's what we used to call it when Tony was on the show, the other show. You know, my other show.
Yep.
I love it. I love it that it's carried on. It's still the other show. That's great.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've turned a lot of guys onto it, and I'm pretty sure, you know, and so we thank you, because we know the long hours you guys work too. And then on top of that, doing the podcast and sound quality, and your boy Jack and everyone, what they put into it. We appreciate it. We do.
Well, thank you very much. We do appreciate that.
That's
we
the
really
second
do.
Happy customer, second happy customer today.
It is. And, but you know, we enjoy doing the show. We do. And we love talking to drivers, and we love talking to all of you out there. You know, it really is. It's really a lot of fun. We really enjoy it a lot. You know, it's been a great year. And, you know, we're looking forward to a bunch more. You know, we're really looking forward to it. I appreciate the words of encouragement. I really do, Rooster. That's really cool.
Great.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And again, like Ship said, thank you for your service. You know, we really appreciate, you know, guys standing up and, you know, taking their turn and, you know, in protecting us. So thank you very much, sir. Yeah. Really do appreciate it.
No, thank you. That means a lot. And you know, I think our country is going to turn around soon. It's just, we're in a trial time right now. So
amen.
Thank
I
you.
Hope so. Yep.
Oh, it'll turn around if I got to drive down to Washington with a goddamn winch cable and turn that thing sideways.
There you go. That's it. Well, Rooster, you have, I'm going to date the show
here
again.
We go.
Rooster, you have yourself a good holiday. You have a Merry Christmas
and
an awesome new year. I'm going to get awesome in there one way or the other, dude. It's a Merry Awesome Christmas and an Awesome New Year or whatever. Merry Christmas. And we hope you and your family have a really Merry Christmas. You take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too have a Merry Christmas as well. It's been a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Again. Privilege is all ours. It really was. Thank you, sir, for coming on and talking with us. It was a pleasure. So, Chipper, you want to sign us out?
All right.
You know what to do.
If you like the show, share it with your friends, anybody, people at the Livestock Commission. I don't care. There just share the show.
Social media,
all the platforms of social media.
That covered it. That's good.
Let them all know we're out here. And, you know, we're not afraid to talk to anybody.
Nope.
Because I am people.
He's a people person. He's a people's peoples. But, yes.
You know, just to reiterate, have everybody out there, have yourself a good holiday. And we'll catch you on the next time. And just remember, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Amen, brother.
Have a good night.